Are you ready to count it down? Because this is end of year, and you got two accountants in the room which are trying to get all the tax paperwork done.
Well, you ought to know how to count then.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think that.
It's not even that. It's just doing the reports.
Yeah.
Have to get the payroll done.
Oh, that's very important.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise.
Otherwise, the IRS gets mad at you. Yeah. Fun. You want to count it down? Are we ready to count it down?
Are we ready?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, let's go for it. Huh? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm John Hotchner, expert in error freak and oddity material and U.S. postal counterfeits, and you're listening to Stamp Show here today.
Return to sender. Return to sender.
Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
Welcome to Stamp Show Here Today, episode number 62. I'm sitting here with Scott, Cash, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Don.
Wait a minute. I thought the podcast from the Stamp Show was 62.
No. The podcast was 61. We got out of order because we wanted to put the Orko Expo up as quick as possible. It was timely.
Blame Cash.
Yeah.
Then you better change the intro to it.
No, we just put in the description that it was, we're out of order here, but we'll be back in order quickly.
Oh.
It's taken care of.
Yes.
We're professionals.
Well, oh, we are. I mean, yes, we are. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Show Here Today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT, or you can call us and leave a message at country code 1-949-873-4298. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, Stitcher, and many, many more. Let's talk about stamps. This week we'll be talking about stamp news. USPS reveals new stamp subject and designs for 2016. Hashtag stamp stories. Hashtag stamp votes. Cash's corrections. And our expert topic this week is different classes of mail.
Why do they matter?
That is a good point. Why do they matter?
Well, you'll have to listen about 20 minutes through other stuff, and then you'll find out.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
So, stamp news. USPS reveals new stamp subjects and designs for 2016. The United States Postal Service is going into space in 2016 with 4 new Forever stamps commemorating Star Trek on its 50th anniversary, and another set celebrating the planets of our solar system and the recent New Horizons flyby of Pluto.
Planets of the system with a flyby of Pluto?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, considering that they decided that Pluto wasn't a planet.
Yeah, but so flyby of the asteroid belt? Okay, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I like
flyby of the larger than normal rock out in space we're not going yes. to call a planet.
There's a funny meme floating around on Facebook. It's a picture of Pluto. It says, WTF Earth.
Another space theme issue will be a new global forever stamp picturing the moon. On December 29th, USPS Acting Director of Stamp Services, Marianne Penner, conducted a press conference online to review the agency's planned stamp subjects for 2016. She introduced more than 20 new subjects that will appear on stamps during the year. Included among these are new high-denomination Priority Mail and Priority Express Mail stamps that will be issued January 17th. Her first revelation was a Legends of Hollywood stamp honoring child film star Shirley Temple, who grew up to be Shirley Temple Black, a prominent diplomat, who served as ambassador to Ghana and later to Czechoslovakia, and a U.S. representative to the United Nations.
Black stamps matter.
Shirley Temple Black died at age 85 on February 10, 2014.
I don't know how much silence I can leave in there.
I know.
He's making your job harder, isn't he?
Yes.
We should get a little... The sound machine should have crickets chirping.
It should.
Yeah, you can't hear me wagging my finger at him going, don't do that. Now, the waiting period for honoring individuals on U.S. postage stamps, formerly 10 years after death, then reduced to 5 years, is no longer observed by the Postal Service.
Oh. Gives you sort of an incentive to want to go out there and die.
Oh, you still have to die.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You first.
Right?
Oh.
Well, they put a picture of Voldemort on a stamp, and he died.
Yeah.
No.
Snape should be next. Snape on a stamp. That's what
already,
I want.
He's already been on
he
a stamp.
He just died.
Yeah, him as an actor, though.
There was a picture of the mummy on the stamp. The mummy.
Okay.
And the mummy was dead.
That's undead. There's a difference.
Yeah, that's a good question. When the zombie apocalypse comes, will they be able to be on stamps?
Only dear USPS, we have a question for you.
Oh, I'm looking here, and it says the four-stamp souvenir sheet of Pluto. Here's the official word from
it's
the USPS.
It's so big it's going to take four stamps, and they won't call it a planet?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, it says,
it's bigger than the planet.
Hold on. We have pictures of them. Where are the pictures?
A subplanet.
I don't know. I didn't get a picture.
Let's see. What does this thing look like?
Oh, there it is on the second page.
Is?
No, that's the moon.
That's the moon?
That's the moon.
I do another round moon.
Exciting radio here.
No. Oh, bother.
What are you, Winnie the Pooh?
And
oh, bother.
I don't have a picture of it. Oh, well. Anyway, it says here, the four-stamp souvenir sheet with two different designs includes the photo of Pluto, the distant dwarf planet recently explored. So the USPS has classified Pluto as a distant dwarf planet. Take that, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I don't know why, but his name came up in my head, too. He's going to have something to say about this.
Well, I mean, he's just an astrophysicist. These guys deliver the mail, so they're going to be much more up on
definitive experts, huh,
exactly,
on the topic.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, they have some great topics.
So do they deliver there overnight?
That's what I was curious about that.
Yes. But you have to realize that one night for Pluto is like 185 years, right? Something like
that. No, that's an orbit.
That's an orbit.
A night is, the night is built based on rotation speed, not orbit.
Oh, good point.
So who knows? That who could knows? Be, you, they could be in a lot of trouble if it's got like a 4-hour rotation.
Yeah. But they are coming out with a Star Trek stamp.
That's exciting.
So that's a cool one.
Yay! Thank you. Finally, it better not suck.
Well, here's a picture of it.
Oh, we actually have pictures. Hold it up to the microphone.
Hold it up to the microphone, please.
Well, we can describe it. And it is...
You printed out too much stuff.
Yeah, it's the emblem with the picture of a Enterprise. But they're more like animated pictures. It's not like an actual... like CGI or something picture.
So you still have to go to St. Vincent Island to get good Star Trek stamps.
Exactly.
No, the U.S. has one good Star Trek stamp.
That is true.
Oh, that's right, out of the Millennium series, right?
Right,
right. Yep. Yeah, that one's kind of cool. That's true.
Yeah, so they put out a new Kwanzaa stamp, but not a Festivus stamp.
Well, Cash.
Lots of fruits and flowers, but they do have the Columbia River Gorge and the... you pronounce this.
La Cueva del Indio.
Yeah, those are nice-looking stamps.
Well, those are in the...
Oh, Jessica's going to love that. It's a Puerto Rico stamp.
Oh, yeah.
That's in Puerto Rico.
And then my favorite that we're going to... The ASDA is going... Or I'm trying to get the ASDA to print a souvenir sheet is for the repeal of the 1776 stamp tax...
You look like you just confused yourself.
I did, because it says here...
It's not hard.
repeal of the 1776 Stamp Act, and it's not. It's the 1766 Stamp Act. The post office has a typo in their list here.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. It was from 1765 to 1766. I know it because I like the story, the backstory on it.
Well, now you're going to go cause a problem where they're going to print out a few, and then somebody's going to listen to our podcast and go, oh, crap, we made a mistake, and then they're going to recall them. And
yeah, good point. Let's see. Do they have the date on the stamp? They could no. The stamp says 1766.
Oh, it does? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I say that's a pretty blatant mistake.
Yeah, so it's just the description here.
Oh, okay.
And the views of the planets. And some boring flower stamps and a boring love stamp.
Hey, flowers are still better than ferns.
That is true.
I hate those fern stamps.
They have a pickup truck stamp coming out. And a bunch of Christmas stamps.
Are they going to do Christmas stamps this year?
Yeah, they have a nativity scene, a Madonna and Child, a Hanukkah, a Kwanzaa. What else? Usually they have like a snowman theme or something like that for the
Eid.
EID, they have an EID stamp coming up. And but I don't see any non-secular Christmas stamps coming out.
Well, get the U.S. government to recognize Festivus as a national holiday.
That's because they're saving the rest of those peanut stamps for next year. They recalled them already from the post offices.
Well, while we're talking about 2016, let's talk about 2015 because we all need to get our ballots in for Lynn's, don't we?
Yes, it's time.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely time for hashtag stamp stories, hashtag stamp votes. Because Lynn's U.S. stamp poll is open online, and here are our picks for each category. Best design.
Well, for me, I said it last time, it's the 1865 Battle of Five Forks and Appomattox Courthouse.
Nah, I kind of like the... I don't know. I liked a bunch of them this year. I thought the design was really good for most of the commemoratives. But I kind of liked the Coast Guard was kind of a surprise for me. I liked the design. I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah, sort of a...
like a then and now. Yeah,
exactly.
That's kind of cool.
Then and now, yeah.
My best design, I hate to admit it, I'm agreeing with Cash. Civil War stamp is pretty cool.
Don,
yeah, I'm with you on that one. I love that one.
nobody voted for Maya Angelou or the worst.
Just wait, there's more categories.
There's more categories.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
The worst design.
Yeah,
worst. I think that's from me to you.
I don't think Maya Angelou gets the worst design. Me to you is just. I mean, it looks like something that somebody was really lazy and made on a.
Made on
a printer somewhere.
Yeah, they made it in Microsoft Word. They just typed it out.
Yeah.
Wait, let's make it better. Let's change a couple of the font colors.
Yeah.
They should have used Zazzle.
Yeah.
I also think it was the least necessary, by the way.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. It got both my votes for worst design and least necessary.
Yeah, because it speaks for itself.
I don't know. I think Maggie Johnson, for me, is the least necessary one.
I don't see that on here.
You think that's pretty bad?
Oh, Maggie Johnson, that's Maya Angelou's real name when she was still a hooker.
Oh, okay.
There you go, bringing up the past again, Cash.
Yeah, well, that's real history.
I'm surprised nobody voted for Robert Robertson Taylor, inventor of the tube sock.
Now, that's a stamp I'd want.
And then they have Year of the Ram, of course, just a cash-in. That's just a cash-in stamp.
So what do you think was the most important?
Ooh, most important. One that had cultural significance to draw the population together and meld us into a cohesive American group.
Special Olympics? Sorry, that was bad.
That was a good one.
I picked Medal of Honor for that one myself. I like it when they honor military like that.
It's a tie for me also. It's either Medal of Honor or Coast Guard.
Well, but, I mean, as far as most important, I mean, I think the War of 1812, the Civil War, the friendship that Japan, they were all kind of, but I do like the Medal of Honor as well. I think they're all important. And they were things that needed to be commemorated.
No. There are some on here that did not need to be.
No, but I think those for me kind of there's
tied.
A tie. I mean, was Elvis really necessary? No. Is it a good looking stamp? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, is it the most important one? No. I think the most important ones are the ones that commemorate the history of our country, and that would be the War of 1812, the Civil War, the Friendship, the Medal of Honor.
Actually, I'm going to change mine a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to give Coast Guard Medal of Honor tie for second place. I'm going to say the first place most important is going to be the Civil War one. And the reason is because they printed three prior years. So you needed to complete the set, or four prior years. So if you didn't print that stamp, then you'd screw up the set. So it was important that we issue an 1865 Civil War stamp.
Well, you were screwed if you wanted the imperf sheet anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That debacle.
For those people who don't know that story, the U.S. puts out imperforated sheets of its issues most of the time. And somebody went in and just bought up all the 1865 Civil War sheets. And now they're still at about $140 each.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So nobody can get them.
And they retailed what originally?
Yeah.
Like $14?
Yeah, I think 12? For $13.65 a something sheet
like
or something.
Something like that. Oh
my so God. The 1864 and 1863 and 1862 and 1861, they're all, you know, normal, like 1.5 times face.
You can, yeah.
And this one here is... You know, somebody's sitting on a big pile on them, of them and saying, I'm not going to sell them unless you give me a huge amount of profit.
I'm glad I don't try to keep the current stamps current.
Yeah. Well, that actually kind of put me off it.
Yeah.
So, what's the next group?
Yeah, I haven't bought one since.
Those are just the commemoratives. There's another group.
That was all that was available to vote on the website. That's
no,
it.
No, there's there's a definitive one.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, so pick it up, I guess, with on to definitives.
Let's see here. Best design. What do you think, Cash?
There's penguins on there, isn't there, somewhere?
Emperor
penguins.
There it is. Yep. I'm going to say penguins because I just like penguins. I think they're all pretty eh.
Eh?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're
I like the waves designs myself.
Well, I guess,
I don't know why.
I guess the best one I would be the peanuts because I like Charlie Brown.
Huh? Definitive. That's
yeah.
That's a Charlie Brown is definitive. Oh, jeez,
yeah.
It is. Why isn't Charlie Brown commemorative?
It's that actually considered a special stamp.
What does that mean?
Yeah, well, exactly.
it's a commemorative that they reprint when they need more.
Oh, okay. So it's
commemoratives are generally not reprinted. That's a special stamp because it's reprinted as needed.
Oh, okay.
So why is the Flannery O'Connor in the definitives?
That's a 3-ounce rate.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay, then
I was trying to figure that out too, and then I saw the little tiny.
Yeah.
Script there is for,
but
I also
gotcha.
Like the I also like the butterfly series that they've got going.
Isn't the grist mill there somewhere, or was that last year?
That was last year, I think.
Oh, okay,
that just sounds wrong. I don't know what a grist mill is, but
it's before your time.
So, yes. Worst definitive design.
Tie for everything else.
I think the summer harvest.
Oh yeah, those are.
I just didn't like the design. It didn't appeal to me.
Mm-mm.
Those snowflakes are kind of boring.
Least yeah. Necessary.
Well, they're definitive. There's all.
Yeah.
I guess.
Least necessary.
3-ounce rate. No question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice looking stamp. It's just not necessary.
Yeah. Why would you? It doesn't make sense.
What did we do most important?
Most
important definitive. What would that be?
I don't think there is one.
They're definitives. What do you say about that?
Penguin stamp. Got to give it something.
Sure.
And the Miss Congeniality Award goes to...
And then it looks like we have postal stationery.
Woohoo.
Oh, no. It goes
the
on.
The juggernaut of the post office.
Well, in my opinion, see, there's your grist mill.
Oh, that's right. The grist. I'm going to vote for the grist mill.
I think that's the only one that's necessary. The stamped envelopes and the postal cards, I really think, are no longer necessary.
No.
They shouldn't even be producing any of them.
Yeah.
So I would give my best design and most important to the grist mill.
Agreed.
Stamp and the least necessary and worst design to everything else.
Everything else.
Yeah. I mean, postcards, I see people bring up postcard collections and stuff. And if you brought up a fairly recent U.S. collection, you'd count up the postage and, like, discount the postage. You know, give them, like, 85% efface or something. I see people bringing up boxes of postcards, and people just say nothing, zero.
Wow.
I mean, you know, 29-cent, 39-cent postcards, and who's going to use them? What do you use them for?
I may have sent hundreds of letters in my life. I've never used one of those once.
Well, I mean, we send out postcards here.
But look at the catalog value for the used ones, though. The unused ones are nothing.
Yeah.
But the used ones, because nobody uses them.
Especially the overseas postcards.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Some of them are – I just sold one online. It was damaged by water. It looks like somebody dropped Kool-Aid on it.
Okay.
And it cataloged like $30. It's like a 40-cent stamp. They catalogs like 80 cents mint and $30 used.
Well,
and
how
I sold
old
it for
it?
$10. 1970 something.
Oh, wow, not bad. Sound.
Yeah. I mean, these things just do not get used.
I guess.
But think about it. You know, we send out postcards for like when we're going to a stamp show. We print the postcards.
Yeah, they're personalized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're made for us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we got a box of postcards. We go, wow, look at this. These are all free. How do you get your message on it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to print your message on them.
Yeah.
And that's cost prohibitive because most printing companies cannot print on that sort of stock.
Right. They require the large sheets, and then they cut them to the card size themselves.
Exactly. You don't print one postcard at a time. You print a sheet, and then you cut up the sheet. So, yeah, I think that's a three-way tie for last place.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So let's all fill out our ballots. And Lynn's Stamp News, we'll give you a plug here. You got four ballots coming into you pretty soon here.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we move on to cash and your corrections.
Ooh, well, I have no corrections. Hail fellows, well met.
Cash is incorrect today.
I think he's incorrect as well.
There he is. We were talking at the stamp show when we presented, and Jeff gave me a really, really great Chicken Alaska emergency flight cover. I got back on Monday, and one of our fans, and I want to thank Eric Knapp from Anchorage, Alaska, sent me a Chicken Alaska cover.
Cool.
And he actually drew a little map of Alaska and showed me where Chicken Alaska is.
Population 3?
Well, I don't know. I haven't looked it up yet. But the cool thing about this is now I have two Chicken Alaska covers. That's an exhibit page. You don't realize how you go from one free floating item to two items on a page. That's a full page.
Oh, it is.
So I want to really thank him.
Cool.
Second thing, still on the subject of chickens, I want everybody out there to go to Google, and I want you to search for a picture of a mountain chicken. Go do it. Put it on hold and then come back, and you will be surprised at what some chickens look like.
He forbade us from telling you what it really is.
Make sure you get a picture of a person actually holding one.
Yeah, that's more impressive. Yes.
And that's it for me.
And now our expert topic. Different classes of mail.
Well, we have first class, second class, third class, fourth class, business class.
Well, okay, I'm assuming then that all of our listeners at some point have seen different rates on their mail. If you get junk mail, or you get a letter from a friend, or wherever you get your mail from. So what are the differences? Why do they exist?
Well, it's not just this. We're stamp collectors, so it's not just what you get in your junk mail today, but it's also looking at items that you see in like cover boxes and stuff, because first class envelopes are common, second, third, and fourth are not, and you will be able to pick up these fairly scarce items if you know what to look for.
When do these first come about? Do you have an idea of their age?
I believe in the, like, 1900, 1899 period, that's where it occurs in the United States. Different countries may have been different. But I know that in 1901 and 1902 is when you start seeing the second and third class letters.
Well, basically, first class is sealed personal correspondence.
Yeah.
Second class is unsealed printed matter.
And it's not just that it's unsealed, but a lot of times you will look at it and it'll have a stamp that is canceled. It's gone through the meter machine or, you know, the canceling device. And there won't be a date.
Right.
There won't be a date in the cancel. So it's unsealed, no date in the cancel, and people look, you know, I used to look and go, what the heck is going on? I can't confirm the date or anything. Well, this was a letter that you mailed. They gave you a discounted rate. They charged you 1 cent instead of 2 cents, and they delivered it whenever.
If they had a particularly large delivery, okay, it would have to wait till the next one. It's kind of like space available.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could take next day, it could take next week. It could be really, really busy, and it takes 2 weeks.
So what kind of mail would the average Joe have gotten that would have been second class?
Unsealed advertisements from people.
So not like penny saver flyers, but actual...
Well, people would actually...
That's third class.
Okay. People would actually send, meeting announcements, meeting minutes, things like that, they would send them unsealed so they could pay the lower rate. Because it's printed matter, it's not considered correspondence.
And honestly, I look for these with the contents because I love the story behind a lot of the people who were sending this sort of thing. If you look in the 1920s, you get a lot of prohibition sort of mail.
Really?
People saying, you know, vote against this or vote against this person or, you know, the scourge of society sort of thing. And these are inside of these cheap mailers because they wanted to hit a whole bunch of people to try to get their candidates in and stuff like that. In addition to that, you have really, you know, everything else in the world, but specifically, I look for like the 1920s because I think the whole Prohibition period is an incredibly interesting time period. And you find that really easily when you're looking for these second class envelopes with the contents.
So to finish modernly tying it in, tell me if I'm right or not. So I'm envisioning when I check my mail and I get something that I might consider junk mail that's like an ad from Geico, but it's in an envelope. Not necessarily sealed, but it still has a stamp on it.
It's a little different today. What they do now is they classify it as bulk advertising. So second class today is not unsealed. It doesn't go through a canceling device. If you look at that when you get those envelopes of coupons, they're not canceled.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. So what it is it's bulk mailing of correspondences for advertising purposes.
Okay.
Now, third class is actually advertising mail.
That's newspapers and penny savers and, you know, the big coupon sort of things. So when you get junk mail, you're usually getting second class and third class.
Right.
And third class is where they wheel it up, weigh the, you know, truck.
It's by the ton?
Yeah, it's by the ton, and then they charge you by the ton. It's the cheapest possible rate. But it's also the slowest possible rate. It's if anything goes in front of you, you wait, as would be expected.
So was that something that they used to have stamps for as a rate?
Actually, third class, I do not believe ever had stamps. Second class did.
Mm-hmm.
They had all sorts of second class stamps. But third class, I don't think so. I can't think of any. It would defeat the whole purpose of having to stamp.
Oh, it would have been a waste of materials for the price.
Yeah. I mean, it would increase the cost far beyond what they were charging.
In the really, you know, in the 1800s, they even put stamps on newspapers. So
you
would find the stamps on newspapers. Not newspaper stamps. That's something totally different. Newspaper stamps did not go on newspapers. They went in receipt books. So a newspaper person would say
in this country.
I'm sorry. I know we have a worldwide audience, and I apologize. So in the United States, a truck would pull up with a ton of newspapers. Or let's go back. A wagon pulled by a horse would pull up with a ton of newspapers. They would weigh it and say, you have to pay $162. And they would give you a $100 stamp, three $20 stamps, and a $2 stamp. And then they'd put it into a receipt book. So it never actually touched the newspapers.
Okay.
Now in Austria, Italy, places like that, they would go up and they would actually put a stamp on every single newspaper for a while. And then people realized that this was pretty stupid. And then they went to the whole thing of bulk. But newspaper stamps in the United States and newspaper stamps in Europe are very, very different from each other.
Well, we're talking about the United States here. That's not necessarily true that the newspapers went through the mail without stamps. They did have to have postage. Say you were in Chicago and you wanted the New York Times, they would. There are newspaper wrappers that are listed under postal stationery,
that's true.
What they would use. They would wrap the newspapers individually, and then they would send them off, and that's how they paid the postage to mail the newspapers out of the area.
Yeah, so actually, that's a good point.
So technically, they are newspaper stamps.
European newspaper stamps, and I know you have wrappers also, Europe-produced wrappers and everything like that. But European newspaper stamps are the equivalent of our wrappers. And I know Switzerland, I collect Switzerland, and they have all sorts of newspaper wrappers also. But that is different. It's taking a third-class item and really making it either a first-class or a second-class item.
Right.
So, okay, the one that I've never heard of before today, what the heck is fourth-class mail? That's kind of at the bottom of the pole.
Yeah, that's your freight. That's your bulk mail.
I've heard those terms before.
If you're going to mail books.
Kids going across the country.
Yeah, mail books, it's your library rate.
Media mail. Okay.
Yeah, it's anything big and bulky that's basically going to go by a slow boat. And you're paying by weight.
Does that technically make any sort of package fourth class that they have to weigh at the counter?
Well,
not so much today.
Right, but you could upgrade it to first class.
Okay.
Right, and pay more, but the rates were a lot less since you were generally sending something heavy. If the faster you wanted it to go, the more you would pay.
Well, here in the United States.
So like in the middle of the century, if you wanted to send something overseas, you would pay for it to go airmail if it was something that needed to get there, and you would pay a lot of money for it.
Hold on. Did you say in the 1800s if you wanted something?
I said the middle of the last century.
Oh, okay. That's
right. That's very different.
Are you behind by about 20 years?
No, I was just
50s, 60s, 70s. You know. Not that long ago.
The 1870s flying across the ocean would have required a Pegasus.
Spectacular. Yes.
Yes. Or a flying fish.
Or a flying fish.
And boy, were his arms tired.
Oh. Cash has been rubbing off on you.
Well, I don't know.
But
we won't talk about that.
We don't talk about that now.
In the United States, it was either 10, 12, 13 years somewhere back there. They did away with parcel post. And now they call everything priority.
Oh, so that's what parcel post was.
Right. So you used to have like
a parcel is a package.
Right.
Yeah.
So you used to be able to send a package first class mail or parcel post. And parcel post was usually slightly cheaper and sometimes really cheaper if it was really heavy. But, you know, like a 1 pound item, you'd save like a quarter or something like that.
Well, that's back when that amount of money was actually a little bit more significant than it is today.
Mm-hmm. Now they did away with the parcel post, and everything is priority. And priority now is parcel post and freight and all the fourth class, really, except for media mail, which media mail is anything – here's the technical definition. Anything which is printed and bound and does not include advertising.
That's not true. You can send CDs and videotapes by media.
I was just
going to
ask.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, you also have CDs and videotapes. Yes.
Okay.
And 8-track cassettes.
Well, we just learned, we just sent off a whole bunch of copies of our both Book of Secrets off to Amazon to have Amazon fulfill them.
Yep.
And I was looking up the postal rates, and if it wasn't for the fact that we posted them as media mail, it would have been about $75 a box, versus yep. media mail was around $22.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it definitely makes a big difference.
Well, I sent a box of books of Hawaii catalog, and they were bound, they were in binders. They were in small binders, and there were about 20 of them in the box. And it was returned to me. They had put it through the X-ray machine, seen that it was binders instead of bound.
Oh, yeah.
And returned it to me and say, this does not qualify. So I had to pay, you know, a couple extra bucks to get it out of there.
That's not cool.
Yeah. So if it's in a binder, it doesn't count as media mail.
Those jerks.
Yeah. Hmm.
What if it comes that way? What if it's like a cookbook or something?
Now, if you'd taken it out of the binders and sent the pages separate from the binder,
that
would have worked.
Yeah. And but then again, you know, CDs, sending CDs via media mail, I think media mail is 13, it starts at like 14 ounces or something like that. So sending 14 ounces of CDs is something nobody's really going to do.
Well, not since the 90s.
Yeah, I still want to ship my 8-track tape collection across. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, I need to send my Laserdisc collection out myself. So two other classifications, certified and registered.
Yes.
How do those work?
And we have a worldwide audience, so this is going to be really confusing because you have to check with your post office. Here in the United States, we have certified mail. That's what a lot of countries have is their registered mail. And I see it all the time. Here in the United States, registered mail costs about $13.
Mm-hmm.
Certified mail basically covers something just going through the normal mail stream, and they just track it. But once it leaves the U.S. Post Office, they got no clue.
Well, another thing is since certified mail is to prove that you mailed something.
Right, right.
And or also includes proving that it was received.
Well, in the United States it does.
Right.
Yeah.
But overseas, when registered mail comes to us, a lot of times it just goes into our first class mail once it gets to the United States because it's not truly registered mail. The way the U.S. Postal Service treats registered mail is it's a controlled substance, and every person that touches that has to sign a log for custody of that item so that they can see from the time you handed it to a postal employee till the time they handed it to the recipient. They delivered it. They have a positive record of who had that item in their possession.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So our registered mail is actually a very tightly controlled system.
Isn't that how you have to send legal documents?
Sometimes.
Like, for summons and subpoenas and things like that, I think. So they can prove that you received it.
Mm-hmm. If Lloyd was in here, because he used to be a process server, he could tell us all sorts of stories.
That's funny. So are there stamps for those two?
Yes.
For the U.S.?
They put out a certified stamp, a 15-cent certified stamp, which didn't go very long.
Was that the FA1?
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
And then there's the F1, which is a registered mail stamp. That's a 10-cent stamp. And the registry mail fee was 10 cents for quite a long time.
Yeah, for like 75 years or something like that. Yeah.
Well, that was the same as our special delivery
fee.
It was the same value.
Oh, which
not the same service.
That's a good thing to discuss. The stamps that you can use now. If you have the certified mail stamp, the 15-cent stamp, and you put four of them on an envelope and overpaid your postage, it would go through. You can use certified mail on stamps or letters that are not certified. You can use special delivery on stamps that are not special delivery. You're supposed to use.
You cannot use special delivery.
No, you can now.
We've gotten packages with them on them, actually.
Yes, well, they normally let them through.
It's actually
if you ask them,
they're technically
you're not supposed to.
It's relatively new. They used to say you could only use special delivery stamps on priority mail.
Okay.
That is no longer the case. However, any postage stamp which has a service marking on it, not, you know, like airmail or special delivery. Those you need a meter or a permit for.
Really?
No, you're talking about the service inscribed stamps.
Service inscribed, that's what
those are considered pre-cancels.
Right.
Because they normally are on advertising and bulk mail, and they normally don't get canceled. So since they have a specific service like standard mail or bulk mail or something like that,
okay,
then they require a special permit. Now, you still have to put enough of those stamps on there to equal the first-class postage rate, and there's some other requirements to use them.
Yeah, they're not forever stamps.
Right.
So they, I'm sure they do that to prevent, since they're not canceled, just a regular person from going and taking a couple of bulk stamps off of their junk mail and trying to mail something with it.
Right. Yes. And generally, bulk mail stamps might have a value of 5 cents or 10 cents or whatever. You won't know what – you'll have to look it up to find out what they are. And that's why they have these requirements where you have to actually hand it to the postal clerk, and they have to check it to make sure you have the proper amount on there, because there is no value on the face of that stamp.
Well, that's like our A through H rate stamps, too. Yes. Unless you know what it is, you end up having to look it up. And I've had to convince clerks before that they're real stamps.
Oh, so. Yeah.
I was waiting for the irate stamp.
Yes.
Irate.
So now, if you were crazy enough to put a Mint F1 on something and mail it, what would happen?
It should go through as a 10-cent stamp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Catalog's a little better than that, right?
That would be a not smart thing to do. Also,
at least from a financial point of
view.
Yeah.
You know, you may as well stick a C3A on there with it to try to make up the rate.
Hey, that'd be one hell of a cover.
Yeah, it would.
But the certified mail also, that was issued during a time when the definition of certified mail was changing. They had registered mail, but they didn't have certified mail. So finally, a lot of people said, you know, I don't want to pay this high price for registry. I just want proof that I mailed it. And so they established the certified system.
Oh, okay. Because I noticed that the certified, that stamp definitely looks significantly newer.
Yeah.
In design style.
1954, was it?
Somewhere in the early 50s.
Yeah. So they invented certified mail to relieve the burden of registered mail, because you know, people needed to send legal documents, and all of a sudden the post office is going, we can't store all these letters inside of our vault anymore. We have to track all this stuff. And the guy goes, I really don't care how secure it is. I just need to show the judge that I mailed it.
And for logical purposes, this is before they could store things like that digitally, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, they would have to keep a physical written log somewhere on your letter. Not fun.
Fun stuff. Let's see. What other rate stamps are there? Special handling. That was on the chickens and other stuff. Parcel post stamps. They've disappeared pretty quick because everybody
we're talking about
post.
Classes of mail, not different stamps.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, pretty close.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm done.
Wow. Cash said he's done.
That's a first.
You can email us at stampshowheretoday@gmail.com. Twitter Stamp Show HT, Facebook Stamp Show Here Today, and our website, www.stampshowheretoday.com, with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions and comments on our Google Voice answering machine anytime, 1-949-873-4298. And there's also a link to Google Voice on our website, so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting.
Hello, I am Sean.
I am Troy.
And this is Stamp Show Here Today.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you not only by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, but also by the Philatelic Book of Secrets Volume 2. Volume 2 covers even more secrets that can be bought alone for $10 or together with Part 1 for $15 at gradingmatters.com. Get yours today.
Hi, this is Bobby Prager with Gary Posner Incorporated, based in Long Island, New York and New Jersey. And I just want to say that the stamp hobby is alive and well here, and we love buying and selling stamps. We pay very very, very good prices. So we'd rather buy 9 out of 10 collections than just a very small percentage of what we see. Also, check us out on our website at GaryPosnerInc.com. You'll see a lot of great stamps at great prices. And any questions, just feel free to call Bob at 1-800-323-4279. That's Bob Prager at 1-800-323-4279. And my cell number is 917-538-8133. Happy hunting out there.
Return to sender, address unknown, no such number.